Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Laurus Labs 3Q FY26 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on the touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Nitin.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Laurus Labs Q3 FY26 earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. On the call today, we have representing Laurus Labs management, Dr. Satyanarayana Chava, Founder and CEO, Mr. V.V. Ravi Kumar, Executive Director, Mr. Krishna Chaitanya Chava, ED, Head CDMO, Mrs. Soumya Chava, ED, Generics and Commercial, and Mr. Vivek Kumar, AVP, Investor Relations. Before we proceed, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made during the call today could be forward-looking in nature, and a safe harbor statement to this effect has been included in the press release that has been shared on the company's website. I hand over the call now to Dr. Chava to make the opening comments, and then we'll open the floor for questions. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Nitin. Good afternoon, everyone. We continue to execute our strategy, the advancement of important clinical and commercial programs with global partners, successful ramp-up of new launches, and strengthening our leadership in the ARV segment. Our large-scale development and manufacturing capabilities across small molecule as well as large molecule offering continue to gain traction with multiple partners. We are seeing a healthy level of interest across technologies and scale from our long-term existing partnerships. We are confident that we are investing in interesting technology platforms, many of those already underway. Successful execution on these projects will continue to transform our business portfolio and drive future growth. Some of the notable progress I wish to highlight: we made significant investments in CapEx so far in peptide development and manufacturing infrastructure to meet our current and future capacity requirements. In addition, we operationalized our antibody drug conjugate and gene therapy process development labs in Hyderabad this quarter, and the construction of GMP manufacturing facility is well on track. Last month, we also announced an increase in joint investments in KRKA Pharma, which is in line with our plan to support ongoing FDA facility construction in Hyderabad. Phase one is expected to be completed by mid-2027. Moving on to financial results, we delivered another quarter of strong operational and financial performance. Revenues for the third quarter stood at 1,778 crores. Gross margins have expanded further from the previous quarters and maintained around 60%, and EBITDA margins expanded to a little over 27%. We achieved these numbers through strong performance across our generic business and also clinical and commercial supplies of CDMO programs to our partners. Our product mix within business division, the operating leverage have continued to do well in supporting our healthy margins overall. As we look forward, we remain well on track to deliver healthy operational growth for the entire financial year 2026. Now, I would like to request Mr. Chaitanya to share key updates on our CDMO business.
Thank you. Yeah. On the CDMO side, we continue to see strong interest in our integrated service offerings across various complex technology platforms. Our cumulative nine-month performance has been very healthy, clocking more than 50% growth. This has been supported by strong recurring business from our existing long-term customer relationships across various different scales. Now, in the small molecule space, our Q3 sales have been at 408 crores. I would say this performance is in line with our expectation due to phasing of deliveries in the coming quarters involving very long and complex synthetic processes. pipeline momentum has remained very healthy, with well-balanced mix of big pharma clientele and also mid and small-sized biotechs. Majority of the pipeline programs under execution utilize several advanced technology platforms, and in line with that, we continue investment for large-scale capacity expansion in our Vizag sites and expanding our capabilities, including peptides, flow, high-energy chemistries, purifications, etc. Now, on the bio division side of things, Q3 sales have been reported at 43 crores. The performance has been a bit muted, but we are seeing better and longer visibility on demand projections and executing longer campaigns on the CDMO side. Additionally, our AOF business is clocking healthy operational progress with continuing customer interest for dedicated lines. Construction work for the commercial-scale fermentation facility at Vizag is progressing in line with the plan, and we expect a phase one capacity of a little over 400 kiloliters to be operational towards the end of 2026.
Thank you, Krishna. I would request Saumil Chabra to share key updates on our generic business.
Thank you. The revenues from the generic division have continued to perform well, reporting growth of 37% to 1,327 crores for quarter three, and for the nine-month period, we achieved sales of 3,510 crores, reflecting growth of 26%. The growth has been supported by higher ARV volumes and more specifically by strong offtake in recently launched products in the developed markets. We continue to see stability from the established product portfolio and expect the benefits to continue at least in the near term. The broad API market portfolio and production capacity in the ARV business continue to be fully optimized, ensuring that we are well positioned to support additional orders as and when they arise. This positions us well to meet customer requirements. The oral solid facility expansion is progressing well. A significant part of the planned capacity became operational during the quarter and is currently undergoing ramp-up activities in line with the plan. Cumulatively, 92 DMFs have been filed to date. In developed markets, four formulation dossiers have been filed and five approvals received during the nine-month period. Overall, 91 products have been filed cumulatively to date. Thank you.
Thanks, Krishna and Saumil, for the overview of generics and CDMO business. On the R&D front, overall R&D spending was at 4.1% of our sales for the nine months FY 2026, increased by 8% year-over-year, including our spend on the cell and gene therapy space. This R&D spend is in line with our full-year target, and we continue to invest in portfolio focusing on product complexity, scale, and sustainable and new technology platforms. Let me share a brief on the quality side. The nine months, the company underwent close to 110 quality audits by multiple drug regulatory agencies and several customers. The company has successfully passed audit inspections without any critical findings. On the ESG front, one of the leading agencies, S&P Global, has published its 2024 ESG score, in which Laurus reported an impressive 10 percentage points increase in the score, achieving 81 out of 100 points. This reflects our continued commitment to sustainable development and exceptional performance in ESG practices as we move along. Now, I request Mr. Ravi Kumar to share overall financial highlights.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Satya, and very warm welcome to everyone for this quarter three and nine months FY 2026 earnings call. Total income from operations for the nine months came at around 5,001 crore. We just crossed 5,000 in nine months' time, registered a growth of 30%. We have continued to deliver strong growth mainly due to sustained ARV business momentum, strong CDMO, and growth in other generic business. For the quarter three, total income from operations was at 1,778 crore, with a 26% growth. Gross margin maintained healthy way for nine months at 60.1%, and for quarter three, it is at 60.9%, mainly due to better product and division mix and continued process improvement efforts. EBITDA for nine months stands at 1,303 crore, with a margin of 26.1%. is well within our earlier guided range. For quarter three, EBITDA reported at 485 crore with a margin of 27% due to strong operational leverage. Profit after tax at 9 months, 610 crores, it's a growth of 388%, and for quarter three, 252 crores. ROCE has improved to 18.5%. If you look at last three quarters, it is progressively improving. On the capex front, we invested about 246 crores for the quarter, and cumulatively for 9 months, it is 735 crores. Our net debt stood at 2,092 crore, which is similar range of quarter ended September, and debt to EBITDA has further decreased to around 1.2. On the capital allocation front, our strategy remains unchanged, and we will continue to prioritize investments into high-value business segments to drive near and long-term growth and return for our shareholder over a period of time. To conclude, as we will finish the year, we are confident in delivering growth and ongoing focus on execution. We remain well-positioned to drive long-term growth. You can refer our IR presentation for more details. With this, I would request the moderator open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Maridhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Just first to start from keeping question in terms of if you could break down ARV sales into formulations and API.
In the 9 months.
Hello.
Yeah, Ram, I'm just answering. In the 9 months, APIs is 86. The formulation is 865 crores ARVs, and the APIs is 1,259 crores.
Sorry, how much? How much is ARV API?
Tushar, these numbers can be, it is there in the IR, or I, Vivek can give it to you, Tushar. You can ask any qualitative question, please.
The total ARV total ARV revenues were 744 crores for the quarter three.
Okay. So secondly, on the capex side, like this 9 months capex is largely more than what we would have done in FY25, and then we have certain contracts made on peptide side or now in ADC. So, firstly, how much, you know, one can think about investment into peptides as an asset over, let's say, next 12 to 24 months, and ADCs as well, if you could, you know, and then thirdly, on the overall capex for 27.
The ADC is still at the nascent stage right now. We have allocated $25 million to the GMP facility, which is under construction right now. We don't expect any meaningful revenues coming from ADCs in the next 2 years. When it comes to CDMO investment in peptide commercial manufacturing facilities, we expect qualification during this calendar year. And we will give you more details as and when we are in position to give feedback to you.
And sir, overall capex?
The overall capex this year will be about 1,000 crores in FY26. FY26, based on the current estimate, we do feel it will be over 1,000 crores next year also.
And this would be largely done with keeping debts, net debt at similar number?
The debt may be increased slightly, it's needed, but your debt by EBITDA will be the in a better way.
Yeah.
And just one last from my side, if you could at least just share in terms of pecking order the gross margin for different segments like API synthesis, FDF.
We are not giving that segment-wise gross margin details. But it is everybody's guess. Yeah.
No, sir. Qualitatively, while not a specific number, but directionally, if I have to think about, is FDF synthesis at a similar gross margin, API at a lower gross margin, is that the way to think about?
Yeah. So, Tushar, the order remains same. CDMO, formulation, API.
Yeah.
This is in order.
Yeah. API is on the lower side, formulation on the higher side, and CDMO is on the top.
Because, sir, sequentially, if we see quarter-over-quarter, there has been improvement in gross margin, while the share of formulation has increased considerably in this quarter compared to previous quarter, which is why I was trying to understand. And in fact, synthesis share has reduced, and even API share has increased. So which is why I was just trying to understand if there was anything in to look into as far as gross margin for the quarter is concerned.
I think the order is remain same, Tushar.
More product. I think, you see, there is a product mix, some segments within the same segment, some products where higher margins were there. So there is, see, if you look at last quarter also, we had the similar gross margin. This quarter also gross margin. And we expect to maintain gross margins of 60%, around 60% for the coming quarter and also next financial year.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rehan Syed from Trinetra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening to the team and congratulations for a good set of numbers and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So, sir, I have a couple of questions. First, on the CDMO side, like CDMO grew 88% in H1 FY26, but management has repeatedly warned that this business is lumpy. So your consolidated quarter three revenue grew only 7.5% sequentially over quarter two. So my question here is, your CDMO growth in H1 was phenomenal due to late phase NCE deliveries. However, looking at the sequential revenue growth in quarter three, so it seems the lumpiness might be entering at a plateau. Is the revenue we see in quarter three the new sustainable quarterly base for CDMO, or did this quarter include a significant portion of registration batches and/or launch quantities that might not repeat in quarter four or quarter one FY27? This is my first question.
See, CDMO revenues, if you look at the overall year, 9 months, we have grown significantly.
Yeah.
And we're also confident that the growth will continue likely. Although the Q3 was a little softer because of timing of deliveries to our partners. But we expect if you look at Q4 FY25 versus Q4 FY26, we expect to grow.
Okay.
Request you to take annual revenue then a quarter on quarter for the CDMO.
Okay, fair enough. And so my second question is around the OPEX burn on specialized modalities. So with the impressive PAT growth this quarter, the burn from specialized modalities like CGT and ADC is less visible. So however, as an analyst, I want to understand the core efficiency. Could you quantify the specific quarterly EBITDA drag from this non-revenue generating activities? And furthermore, since you now recruited new leadership for ADCs, so is the INR 250 crore budget still sufficient, or should we expect an upward revision in OPEX as you move towards bioconjugation and fill finish capabilities?
So, as a value based philosophy, we were informing all over the
discussion. You are not clearly audible.
None of the pre-operative expenditure or any of our new initiatives is capitalized. So everything every new modality expenditure is expensed. So in the ADC space, we are investing significantly both in OPEX and CAPEX, but that is going through the balance sheet. We are not capitalizing it.
Okay.
And coming to your question of the team, actually we have a separate team identified, a guy who is relocated from US to India to take care of the ADC and then no gene therapy.
Okay. And my last question is on the ROCE and ROE guidance that you have given in the last quarter. that management has highlighted that the company's current size can absorb the INR 1,000 crore annual capex better than in the past. So, however, with the groundbreaking of $5,600 million by the complex and the current fixed turnover of 0.9, so aren't we risking another multi-year period of operating deleverage, specifically if your Bangalore bio capacity is sold out until end 2026 and new Vizag capacities are also a year away? So from this specific division, will it be incremental turnover came to bridge the gap to over to your 1.1 asset turn and 25% ROC target in next 12 months?
I think in case of bio, our revenues will stagnate until we operationalize our new capacity, which will be by end of this calendar year. And we are not committing that we will achieve a ROC of 25% in the next 12 months, but we are confident that the ROC percentage will go up from the current 18%.
Sir, you have said 18%, right?
Right now it is 18%.
Right now it is 18.5% ROC. We expect to go up, but we are not committing it will go to 25 with a time-bound program. Yeah.
Okay, so I am not putting any number here.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. Thank you. That's it for my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Antifragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question and good afternoon, team. It's heartening to see a very strong jump in the operating cash flow. I'm looking at the 9 month number, it's about 600% increase. But there is an interesting trend here, Raviji. If you can elaborate and help us better understand this wider picture. So, if I look at the 10 year data, so I'm looking at 2016 to 2025 cumulative. We clocked the EBITDA of 8,500 crores, and against that EBITDA of 8,500 crores, we did an operating cash flow of about 5,400 crores, so that's about 63% conversion. Whereas in the 9 months, the conversion is 113%. So 63% going to 70, 75, even 80% is understandable. There is a definite change in the net working capital strategy, as far as I can understand. If you could just help us double click and understand a more longer term and more sustainable conversion of EBITDA into operating cash flow. Thank you.
Sachin, thanks for your very interesting question. So this kind of a help happened because of the some of the customer advances which helped this year, number one. But of course, if you look at the absolute number of the NWC is close to the similar number for the March and December, but the revenue has increased. That's really helped. But you are right, from 63 to 80-90%, but beyond that, actually, it some part is helped through as customer advances. Thank you for your in-detail understanding.
Sure, Raviji, just to harp on that one. So, given that the business characteristic is definitely changing in the favor of CDMO and this customer advances will be an ongoing thing. We cannot compare quarter over quarter for advances because in 1 year the advance may be higher than the other year. But on a broader 5 year basis for the going forward 5 year, I think the conversion should be a lot better than what we have delivered in the last 10 years. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's a fair assumption.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is for you, Dr. Satya. Where not to go or what not to do is also equally important because business have got finite cash flows and capabilities. In that context, what is that one area where Laurus has chosen not to grow despite opportunity looking very interesting in the near term?
Very thought-provoking question you asked, Sajjan. See, right now we decide not to enter into large-scale mAb manufacturing. We don't want to do that. That's the area we decided not to get in. And the other area we decide not to enter right now is also sterile manufacturing. These two areas we decide not to enter. Although opportunities looks good, but we also need to understand our management bandwidth to handle many things. So we know Right now, we are busy with water handling. We have visibility about our growth plans in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So we are cautious in the areas where we wanted to enter and deploy our resources, both men, material and money.
And that's understandable, Dr. Satya, because if you look at India, I've seen many large sterile and MAB monoclonal antibody players. One of the leaders in that space are struggling when it comes to their balance sheet and the ROCE profile. So completely understand that strategy and thank you for clarifying. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cents. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, if you can elaborate a little bit on, that is my first question, on the joint venture with Arka Pharma. Can you please elaborate what are we doing? Because I am not tracking, I am recently tracking this company.
The joint venture with the Arka Pharma is to manufacture formulations for the European market where APIs will be supplied by us, and in the phase one we are creating 3 billion solid oral capacity and 100 million solid oral capacity for potent molecules. In the phase two we will create another 5 billion tablet capacity in the solid oral space. Phase 1 we expect to complete by mid of 2027. This unit will primarily will do formulations, packaging for various European markets and also some markets in Asia Pacific as well.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir. And the second question is on cell and gene update, gene therapy. If you can highlight or elaborate what kind of revenues will kick in and what are we trying to achieve for a layman who understands a little bit about pharma, it will be helpful. Thank you.
In the cell therapy, our associate company, ImmunoAct, is already having commercial revenues. And in, when it comes to gene therapy, we are at very initial stage of investments in antibody drug conjugates and gene therapy. Our process development labs were operationalized and the GMP facilities will come in the next 12 months. And we don't expect any revenues from ADCs and gene therapy at least in the next 24 months.
Right, sir. And what about the joint venture with Arka Pharma?
We will have revenues in the next financial, not in this financial year. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please use handsets while asking a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead. Mr. Chirag, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, first question is both for CDMO as well as for API and FDF business. Q1Q and YOY, if you can just highlight, is there anything with respect to volume and pricing, especially in API and FDF? Have you benefited on pricing in API and FDF?
In the API, FDF, we predominantly benefited from the volume gain.
Okay. Okay. So pricing has not really changed much, correct?
Pricing hasn't played a significant role in this. The volume gain was significant.
Was the main reason. Okay. Yes. And so second follow-up, just a clarification also. On the CDMO side, if you look at sequentially, CDMO revenue would be up, is down by 13%, YOY up by 1%. Now, in the last two calls, we have been indicating supplies to late-stage development as well as commercials. So, despite that, we are seeing a flattening out of revenue. So is there any call-out you would like to make on that side? Where ideally, if commercials are playing out, then the ramp-up should be slightly higher before we start flattening out and the new molecule pipeline starts replacing or compensating for that.
Yeah, even while the late stage supplies and also commercial supplies are ongoing, even in such situations, some of these supplies are once or twice per year in some cases. So there's not necessarily a supply going out every month. It comes down to their internal manufacturing capacity and demand requirements. So even in the case of it going commercial, we'll continue to expect lumpiness in some of the programs. I won't say that's the case for all, but some of the programs, you will continue to see that lumpiness on a quarter-to-quarter basis.
But on the annual basis, you have to look at on the annual basis, number one. And number two, on annual basis, we are still committing to our earlier projection for the CDMO for the full year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for so I was more keen on 27 because some new molecule supply has to start for us to compensate for this lumpiness, correct? Else we will see a kind of a flattening out or maybe 5% to 10% kind of a growth in CDMO business. So if you can just talk a bit about that, how to look at 27 in CDMO revenue growth?
While we are not giving any concrete numbers for 27, we still expect a healthy growth over whatever we expect to report in 26.
So if you look at FY26, in the 9 months, our growth is close to 50%.
Yeah.
And we expect Q4, as I mentioned just now with another question, Q4 FY20 was 461. We indicated that our Q4 FY26 will be better than Q4 FY20. So we have visibility now how FY27 look like, but we are not giving any quantitative guidance. As you
it's qualitative. It's more about qualitative. It's more about, so are there any large molecules coming up for supplies for you in 27 based on the pipeline that you have created over the last 2-3 years? Is that the way to think that will drive the growth?
The majority of FY27 revenues in our CDMO division will be commercial supplies. I think that much I can make a statement.
Yeah. Majority commercial supplies.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, one last because, and this is more with the gross margin improvement that we are seeing. Has currency played any role in your gross margin improvement? Because sequentially, we would have benefited reasonably on the USD-INR movement and USD-Euro movement also for that matter.
Not very significant. Answer is yes, but not very significant.
Could it contribute 20, 30 basis points or even 40, 50 basis points of gross margin improvement sequentially, given the adverse, so this is in context of adverse mix in the broader segment, like CDMO share is down, API share is significantly up. That's why I was asking.
We'll definitely get a benefit because we are a net exporter. But I'm saying that it is not a very significant impact or positive impact.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jeevan from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
It's very heartening to hear the guidance of 60% gross margin going forward. I think it's very, very positive. Coming to the CDMO side, sir, I just want to understand FY27. So one is the animal health. So I don't think animal health has still scaled up in 25 much. So animal health, how do you see the scale up in FY27? Agrochemical also, I don't think FY26 we have done much of a delivery there. So how do you see agrochemical growing in FY27? And apart from that, is there any large contract that we are talking or are in the pipeline with the big pharma, if you can speak on that?
Krishna,
Yes. On the animal health, you know, there's ongoing commercial supplies for a few compounds, continue to do validations and filings for our partners in other programs. So there is some meaningful revenue for this year as well, and that we expect to continue that or in fact grow on that. In the crop science space, we've commercialized one particular supplies for our partner, and we expect that to continue shipments in the coming years as well. But we look forward to adding more partners in the crop science space, but you know, meaningful revenues for the crop science probably will start maybe 2 years or 1 to 2 years down the road.
Okay. And yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. On your the second question on the large commercial contracts, I mean, unfortunately, I can't necessarily comment on that, but we continue to have good discussions with several partners in several phases of the programs.
Yeah. So are you basically seeing any cases where the innovator large pharma is looking to move, you know, late stage molecules from other clients to us?
The opportunities exist, but unfortunately, without divulging like confidential information, I can't really fully comment on that. So, yes.
Okay. No problem. No problem. Thanks a lot. And next question is about ImmunoACT. So I think we have done recently tie-up with Cipla for South Africa region. So any comment on that? How do you see that market or how do you see that opportunity?
That opportunity will be meaningful only a year from now, because of the regulatory approval needed in South Africa. So clinical trials will start soon in South Africa for ImmunoACT. So it will be April 28th, you will see that. But there are some milestones ImmunoACT already received from Cipla.
Okay. Great, sir. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Siriparupu from Quest for Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congrats for good set of numbers. Dr. Chava, regarding this new greenfield CapEx of 500 acres in Ashwathampuram, may I know when can we expect this new greenfield CapEx start coming online? Can we expect first phase of it to come somewhere in FY28?
We are expecting the land allotment and handover will happen in the Q4 this year, financial year. And CapEx will start from maybe second part of FY27. And we expect qualification and validations only 2 years from now, not before.
Okay. Good. And my second question is to Krishna Chaitanya Garu. So currently, if you see, there is a significant wave of demand coming to India on small molecule side from innovators. So basically, what I understand is that the innovators are chasing for capacity. Yeah. So with this background, how is Laurus prepared to handle this surge of demand? Are the current capacities sufficient to satisfy the CDMO demand? And are we considering scenarios like freeing up generic capacities and allocating them to CDMO?
I think one of the you know, strategies that we've adopted is investing ahead of time. And that was the case over the last couple of years where we continued to do significant amount of CapEx. That was in you know, in line with what we were expecting from capacity requirements and customer additions. And therefore, that has positioned us strongly to meet some of these new opportunities that are coming about. And that's also in line with our current guidance on CapEx for this year and the next year. This is to create capacities for our partners and opportunities that we are seeing.
So basically, we didn't lose any business because of not having capacities, basically, till now.
That's a fair statement to make, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. And my last question is to Soumya Garu. So it's on generics. So recently, 3 billion tablet capacity has come online in Unit 2, Sarkarka. So may I know from when do we expect to generate revenue from this new capacity?
We've already started using the additional capacity, and we will see a little bit of increase or jump from next calendar year, from next financial year, next quarter Q1.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's it from my side. Yeah. Thank you, Bharat.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Agrawal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is related to peptides. So you're making ongoing investments. So just want to understand how much or what kind of the investments you are making here, let's say over the next couple of years, and when you see the revenues are starting from this particular segment. Thank you.
I think we'll give more details at an appropriate time, Vivek, on this. But what I can give you a glimpse. We are creating capacity for a fully integrated programs. Backward protected amino acids, unnatural amino acids, fragments, final peptide, and purification and isolation. So the capacity being created is fully integrated. Yeah, and we'll give you more details at an appropriate time.
Yeah, so just try to understand more. So is it like that you already have some contracts or talks with some of the big pharma, or is it like you are creating the capacity first and then, for example, you are expecting some kind of business from this facility?
I think I can't give you more details on this.
And no problem at all. And in CDMO, actually, just harping on the comments that you have made during the call. So in 4Q, you are expecting growth YOY. So just want to understand, is the growth is expected to come from supply of a new commercial molecule, or is it kind of a late stage molecule? If you can provide some more color.
Most of the revenue in Q4 is going to come from commercial supplies of molecules what we supplied earlier.
Okay, understood. And just last question on CDMO. So in calendar year 2026, right? So how many commercial molecules, the new commercial molecules you are going to supply?
In the last 18 months, I can give you, because we had a review internally. So we supplied 3 commercial NCEs in the last 18 months.
Okay, and just lastly on the generics, right? So in CDMO, you commented about that QOQ growth or YOY growth in the fourth quarter. But how to think the performance of generic business in 4Q? So in this quarter, actually, that there is a significant step up. So I just want to understand what is the sustainability of the step up in 3Q and how to look this particular segment in FY27. Thank you.
In the generic space, lion's share of revenues are coming from ARVs, both APIs and formulations. And that business is pretty stable. Actually, we were able to increase our market share in both API and formulations in that. And our North American formulation and European CMO sales are also going up. I think we believe those numbers, what we did in Q3, are sustainable. Yeah.
Understood, sir. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramesh Jain and CA. Please go ahead.
This is to Mr. Ravi Kumar. Just I want to understand why there was a marginal growth in CDMO business quarter on quarter as compared to our generic business. You are telling for 9 months, of course, I understand, but for this particular quarter, why growth was not visible?
What you are, can you just repeat your question?
Why CDMO revenues are not growing?
If your question is why CDMO revenues are not growing, it is as we indicated, you can't compare on a quarter on quarter for a CDMO revenue, you have to see on a year basis. So the year as, for a 9 months, we, as Dr. Satya said, we already achieved a 50% growth. For a year also, we are expecting to have an higher growth, and then you don't compare on quarter on quarter. I hope that your question is that.
And the margins are sustainable, sir, even for the next quarter?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. This is
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manavu Mehta from Vridhan. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening. So my question is on the MOU where we are signed with Lauden for South Korea, where we've announced entry into OLED materials, OLED materials. So my question is, how does Laurus enter into this structure apart from pharmaceuticals?
So our similar to our strategy across different areas, right? Like for example, human health, animal health, and crop science. OLED represents another potential opportunity where we could be a potential player in the OLED materials, which are again small molecules or chemically synthesized compounds, right? For that, that's an MOU that we had agreed upon with Lauden. And, you know, we don't necessarily expect to see any meaningful revenues this year or the next, but that gives us an opportunity to potentially play in this very lucrative market.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Daga, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question was similar to, you know, what was the previous person asked. Just to add on to the question, what will be the total TAM of the market in the OLED segment, maybe 27, 28?
It's still an emerging development, given that the partner program that we're working on is also a developmental program. I can't necessarily comment on the market size itself because that's an emerging space that's currently under development.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aseem, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Many congratulations for the fabulous results for quarter three. So one of my questions on the business is already answered. Thank you for that. I have one question on the financials for quarter four. If you look at the last year, quarter four, we have other income of around 40 to 50 crores, which has led to a higher profitability. So my question is, what is a one-off, or we can expect a similar level of other income in this quarter as well?
We are not expecting an other income in the quarter four.
Okay. So that was a one-off for last year.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit K, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to understand, I have two questions with regards to the, one question is regards to the asset turnover. May I know, what is the asset turnover currently?
0.91 actually.
Okay, 0.91. And I understand, I look at the generic business and the FDF. Mr. Chava had mentioned that you have entered into some new products and the volume is the volume growth was there significantly, right? How sustainable is this? Because we've seen that the API and the FDF sector has been fluctuating over the last 24 to 36 months, if you see. But now this has been a significant ramp up in the FDF and API, both sectors. Is this like something that we can expect the company to continue to grow on? Because you also have new capacity that has come online. I was mentioned on the call also.
The growth in generic API business would believe is very sustainable. And when it comes to growth in our other FDF business, it will also eventually sustainable despite up and down three quarters because our capacity, increased capacity for our CMO business in Europe with a European customer will yield revenues starting from this quarter and fully operational by next quarter. So we expect those numbers are also sustainable in the long run. May not be in Q4
Q4 this year and Q1 next year, but eventually we expect to do well there on, there as well.
Okay. And one last question with regards to the peptides sector that is happening. We understand that you are working with an American biotech company, and we want to understand the timelines of these projects. Is it 24 months, 36 months, or 48 months, or is it really, really unpredictable? We have seen some data that there are some trials going on in the U.S. without disclosing the company, of course. But if you can understand the timelines, because you've invested billions of dollars like in your company, and you are looking at the future of the sector, which is obviously it is ADC and peptides, which is like a revolutionary thing in pharma. So we wanted to understand what is the timeline, if you have any visibility or anything in that.
I think you have to bear with us for some more time. We'll give you the details appropriate time. Yeah. But as you mentioned, we are investing significant amount in peptides as well as also significant amount in ADCs.
So in that part, can we conclude that you are trying to move from being an API or CDMO sector to a biotech company, a company that is like the longer term vision for the organization?
No. See, our investments in biotech, for example, cell therapy, gene therapy, ADCs, are most emerging fields globally. And we wanted to invest ahead of the curve and wet our hands to capture opportunities. In the case of peptides and all, we are well established. We have investment, we have programs running right now. So, answer to your question is, we are more focused on small volume CDMO than large volume CDMO right now. Large molecule CDMO. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anjan Banerjee, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I have a question, Dr. Chava, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have a question on the CDMO space. Like, we have been seeing the many of the Indian pharma players, they have been expanding their capacity in towards this CDMO segment. So as per the understanding, how big and long is this opportunity? And given that Laurus has invested so much in the last couple of years towards expanding the capability and capacity, so what is the competitive advantage that Laurus Labs has as compared to its peers? So that's one of my questions.
I don't say we have advantage. We were well prepared to take the opportunity, I'll put it that way. So people look at us if there is a complex chemistry, if there is a scale involved, if it is a flow chemistry, if it is biocatalysis, if it is high energy chemistry and involves scale, and we are the perfect partners. So we have invested in these modalities and created capacities.
Okay. So, sir, as per you, whatever this capability that you talked about, so is it a fair assumption that developing these capabilities is a very long-term process, and any pharma company just cannot hire scientists and just foray into these fields because they are very skillful operations? So is it fair that developing these and getting the customer approval is a very big thing, because the capability matters a lot as compared to the capacity? So is it a fair assumption?
Yeah, I think initially we are creating capabilities and then investing in capacities. So what I mentioned, Laurus currently uses enzymes at the commercial scale. Laurus uses flow chemistry at commercial scale. So we are going in phase one. First, we create capabilities and then create capacities, and we believe projects will come.
And so my second question is, for the CDMO space only, that you have constantly guided that we intend to reach that 50% of our share, which will be driven from the CDMO segment overall. So is it the ceiling, or once we reach this 50%, we will look beyond the breaching that, that 50% ceiling also? That's the second question.
I think our first goal is to reach 50%. Yeah,
for long,
Long term.
Long.
We have given it's not going to be there in the medium term. It is a long-term goal for us to get there.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kodanga Pani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Very thanks for giving a good result for this quarter. So I want to ask this, what is the exchange benefit for this quarter? Because of the huge recognition in the dollar.
Yes, but not very significant.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. Most of the things already clarified. Very thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, you know, on the ARVs, you've been earlier mentioning that the business will sort of stabilize around 2,400-2,500 crores. We seem to be running significantly ahead of the run rate in the current year. So is this, has something changed in the ARV space per se, which has enabled us to improve our scale in this business? And is this sustainable?
See, earlier we guided 2,500 plus or minus 200 crores. But you're right, current run rate is a little beyond that. The main contributor for that is we have expanded our API capacities to meet our customer demand. That's driving our positive growth there. Now, if I have to restate that, currently we are at 2,600 plus or minus 200. I'll put it that way. But fundamentally hasn't changed much.
And sir, you know, given there were some changes in the market landscape, has the profitability of the business also improved versus the dip it had a couple of years back? Is it a much better business, you know, profitability-wise than it was maybe a couple of years back?
It's profitable if we sweat assets more. That's what we're doing right now. Yeah.
But there is, you don't see any major change in the competitive intensity in the business, you know, in that.
No, we're not seeing any.
But Nitin, actually what happened, actually we suffered for a few quarters because of the steep price reduction, but that we could able to recover those things, like, you know, because of the some process improvements, raw material prices and productivity improvements. As we have been indicating for the last 6 quarters that we have been working on ARVs, that is being resulted in this quarter.
Yeah. It's sustainable. Yeah. API sales.
So secondly, on the formulation, non-ARV formulation business, what are the growth drivers for this business, you know, when you look at next 12 to 18 months?
We expect to sustain those because of additional capacities coming up for our CMO partner in Europe, and also volume gain in US, and also some new launches in North America, both US and Canada.
Okay, and so this will so this is because this quarter was probably the first decent quarter of ramp up which happened. We are pretty meaningful ramp-up actually this quarter. So is this like a run rate from here on, or there will be lumpiness in this business as we go along?
I think we expect a little lumpiness, but it is not significant. Yeah.
And sir, lastly, on the CDMO business, you know, versus the kind of conversations we were having with investors, or rather with our partners a couple of years back, to the kind of conversations we're beginning to have now, what has been the change? I mean, if you can qualitatively indicate, you know, the change in the quality of discussions we are having, scale and scope of discussions we are having with various partners on CDMO?
Any change in...
That's, I mean, it's a long answer. That but okay, to just summarize it, I think the tone of the conversations continue to remain the same in terms of what kind of capacities, capabilities and credentials that the company has. I think that's what primarily attracts customers. With that being said, I think the global landscape has been, you know, a tailwind for potential conversations with customers. But the fundamentals need to be sound, and that will only drive the business is our understanding of this.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit K, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Abhijit, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah. I had a clarification with regards to
the CDMO business, you mentioned animal health and crop sciences. Animal health will continue in FY27, and crop sciences, one product has been commercialized and meaningful supply will happen in 1-2 years. I remember in the previous con calls you had mentioned about human health CDMO contract also. Is that still on track, or is there like approvals pending and etc.?
In the human health space, there are several different programs that we currently work in with several partners. And there's, as Dr. Satya mentioned, there's several commercial supplies ongoing in the human health space.
Okay. But you are, in percentage-wise, can you give a breakup? Like, is it possible to say what are you looking more at? Is it crop science, is it animal health, or is the future going to be human health? Because that's where I think a lot of companies are talking about it. So just a picture, if not to be too specific, but just a rough.
Our largest share of CDMO is in the human health space by far, and that will continue to be the case. After that, we have a sizable portion coming in from animal health. And the third one, which is again currently very small, is in the crop science space. And this ranking of human health, animal health and crop science will be similar if I project a couple of years down the road as well.
Okay, and the crop science is the one, is it a patented product or no? I'm asking this question because next year and or in the next 2 years, a lot of products are going off patent. So I just wanted to understand if it will affect you or not.
Yeah, the commercial one is technically a patented product, and some of the other opportunities that we're working on are also on the patent ones that we're looking at.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeraj Kumar Reddy from Equasquare. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. The first question being, see, many CDMO players are talking about peptides as an opportunity today. I mean, even, you know, Newland or like First Piramal, etc., right? They say that this is a $10 billion opportunity. Dr. Chava, I just wanted to understand what, out of this $10 billion opportunity, how much will probably come to India, or is it only Indian opportunity, and relevant players will get, like, what kind of market share out of this overall? I mean, you can just give me in a 3 to 5 year time frame, maybe.
It's a very difficult question to answer. See, we don't have visibility on who is investing, what capacity, what products we have, they have. But whoever gets the GLP opportunity, people are investing in amino acids, protected amino acids, fragments, and some of them investing in small volume, some of them investing in large volume. Opportunity is going to be meaningful for a good number of players. And I will not be in a position to comment any further on this.
Got it. And my second question, Dr. Chava, is basically, so if you are saying that ARV will be more or less in the range of this 2,500 to 3,000 crores, what is the expected growth in the API segment going forward, API and the formulations, like how will they grow in the next 2 to 3 years?
We'll grow in the next year, but significant growth will come in FY28 because we're adding capacities, we're validating some generic APIs and formulations. So growth will be significant in FY28, but there will be some growth in FY27 as well, the generic API as well as FDA space.
Understood. Okay, got it. Thanks, Dr. Sir. I think that's all for myself.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Mr. Bansal from NBG Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. You said, you know, while answering one of the questions from the participant, that your asset turnover is 0.9. So what is the maximum achievable capacity, fixed asset turnover ratio?
If you look at our one of our slides in the investor presentation, our 5-year average asset turn was 1.1. Our first target is 0.1. Maybe 0.9 to 1.1 we will reach But our peak asset turn was 1.4. We are not anticipating 1.4 at this moment, but we are targeting 1.1 over a period of time.
Okay. So that means you are almost at the full capacity utilization.
But 0.9 to 1.1, actually there is a, like, we can.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as this was the last question for today, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for asking very insightful questions and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.